Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And today we're going to do a show on the market, the economy, personal finance, just all kinds of economic factors. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken to our guest, Robert Kudla from Trade Genius. And it just never fails. Every 2 weeks, we have a whole new plethora of issues. I've never seen things move this fast. I remember we used to have to hunt for stories in my early days. Now, we get too many to show up on our doorstep, and we have to pick and choose what we cover. And unfortunately, the news is not all good, but we're here to help you navigate some of the troubled waters here and give you some options on how you can best handle your financial situation today, given the incompetent leadership we have in coming out of Washington. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's hard to even know where to start because inflation's out of control and we can't call it transitory anymore, the lie they tried to tell us. We've got chaos with Middle East oil going on right now that could affect our supply. And, of course, there's the ongoing problem in Ukraine and the related issues with fertilizer and wheat and so forth. And okay, so in the midst of this morass, where would you like to begin?
Well, I think now, you know, those are all first order events, right? And, you know, and you and I have talked about these exhaustively over the last 18 months. And everybody knows, look, all this stuff actually took off from the day that Joe Biden was anointed as president in November. And so this pattern is expected, but now we've reached what I call the second order effects. So we created this environment where we have a supply crunch created by the pandemic, but the pandemic didn't cause the supply crunch. It was the policy initiatives that surrounded it. Okay, and then they followed it up with the oil supply problem, which again two policy choices. One was them trying to restrict supply in the country to get people to move the renewables. And secondly, they're using the Russian invasion into Ukraine as a second order event for that. And so supply has not changed at all in the country, around the world. And demand has been creeping up, but price of oil now is up 150% since Biden took over. Primarily because now speculators are correctly expecting further supply constraints and policy decisions that are going to keep us from going back to normal price oil. Now, Yes. That's oil in and of itself. You know, hey, I can deal with it. It's going to cost me a couple hundred dollars more to fill my tank, but that's not where it ends. So one thing about oil, it has natural gas is a part of it, propane is a part of it, okay? So natural gas is also expensive right now, and it's going to remain so. The United States has a lot of natural gas. It's cheap, but Europe doesn't have natural gas because they're cut off from Russia now. And so guess what? We're going to be now freezing our natural gas, liquefying it, and we're going to be sending it over to Europe. So they're arbitraging the prices. So we get to pay for Europe's inability to create their own sources of natural gas or protective sources and not rely on dictatorships. But we get to pay for that privilege now at higher natural gas prices. And okay, Bob, so what about that? Well, natural gas is used in about a gazillion things, okay? You know, it's used to make polyesters. It's used to make fertilizer.
Oh, my.
Okay, so there's two components to fertilizer, right? One is the potash that gets mined out of the ground, right? And then you have urea, you know, and ammonia that is generated through the chemical, you know, extraction through natural gas, converting it into ammonium and converting it into urea, and which is one and the same. And so you have and that's used on a lot of crops. OK. And so now you have, and that's nitrogen. So nitrogen and potash, right? You know, when people talk about, you know, they also put calcium in there as well. you know, you can read your little fertilizer, you know, on your Miracle-Gro bottle at home, the, you know, the top three things, right? So two of those are in great deficit right now. And so it's going to cause a big change in the food dynamic. There was a chart. I wish I would have remembered giving it to you. I'll try to find it, and you can put on another podcast at your leisure. Is that where Russia, Ukraine, who they export their wheat to? And it's primarily to Africa. So now, two things are going to happen. One is going to be less going to those parts of the world, number one. And number two is, you know, Russia is going to extract concessions out of, hey, we'll sell you the wheat, but we need you to unalign with the West. Okay? And guess what Africa has? Africa has strategic minerals. Okay? So it's going to be used as a weapon. It's also going to be a club that's going to club these people into food shortage images. So that's number one. Number two on that, China is in fertilizer deficit. Okay? Now, China's not North Africa. China has a lot of foreign reserves. So they're going to try to buy the world out of the grains that they may need if they're going to have shortfalls next year because they can't get enough fertilizer in the ground. Okay? And so you have a situation now where you'll, and the greatest sucking sound is going to come out of Australia, United States, and South America, right? Australia and China already have issues with each other. So I don't know if money will talk louder, right? Same with America. You know, they buy a lot of our corn, a lot of our soybeans, a lot of our pig, right? And then you got South America, which is both Argentina and Brazil are basically designed as grain exporting countries because they make so much more food than their population requires. And so they're having problems, though. Argentina has cut off the export of their grains. Okay, and Brazil's been having issues with production levels. So we may have a perfect storm coming at us here in the next right now, what's it? It's going into April, right? So we're going to probably be what I would call, I'm quoting here, okay for 2022. We're going to see increased prices of food. But going into 2023, it's going to be, I think things are going to become very problematic, okay? I.e., there's probably going to be famine in the world, all right? And because all the supplies that are being stored right now will be sucked out of the system, and we're going to be running a deficit in production. So that's a problem, and it'll be an opportunity. When we talk opportunities, I'll tell you where you could trade those. Okay, but right now that's a problem for the world, and we're starting to see you're starting to see Romania, Hungary, Argentina, and obviously Russia, and by default now Ukraine are not exporting grains. So you're going to start seeing around the world, you're going to start seeing countries that normally export food are going to get more cautious because they don't want to run out of food for their own people. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens in the United States. Australia is not so much an issue because their population is relatively low. Same with South America. All eyes on us in Canada, right, to see if they're going to suck us out of grain or if we're going to start seeing export controls here in the United States as well. Because, you know, food's going to become very expensive here in the United States because we're used to not exporting natural gas and oil and food at levels that we're going to see going forward. And that just means the American people are going to pay more for the privilege of exporting. And so that's the big thing that I see as a second order event on the inflation and food front. But that's not the only one.
This administration is not even dealing with this, are they?
No, because they're too busy sensing how they could turn this into an opportunity for their side, if you will.
Yeah, I got it. I know what you're saying. But, yeah, anything to do with energy is going in the back pocket. This is just incredible incompetence with leadership. But forget the leadership for a second. Do you have any idea how to quantify how bad it could get for America?
Well, yeah, look, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if I repeat myself, just let me know, because you and I talk fairly often, is that you know, everybody's talking about inflation running at 5%. We had a PPI of 9%. Well, the Congress just approved pay raises for their congressional staff at 20.8%. So we know inflation's running at 20%. And so I think food prices are going to probably be, you know, in that range. Right now, if you're smart, get the Costco, because so farmers know that when grain gets very expensive, they won't be able to feed it to their animals. So they're probably taking a lot of them to market right now. So you get these temporary dips in meat prices when these things happen. So if you look at pork prices right now, they're really good. Beef prices are really good relative to the past 6 months. But going into summer and going into next year, you're going to see prices at all-time highs for all sorts of protein. You know, the whack jobs at the WEF and the New World Order they're telling you to eat bugs, and now they came out and told us that we should get used to eating lentils, except the idiots forgot that lentil prices are double too. So, you know, it's amazing. And you know why they're talking lentils is because if you can't put nitrogen in with fertilizer, you have to have nitrogen fixing crops, right? And so so you're going to see them, you know, up in Canada, you know, where they can grow wheat and barley, they can also grow pulse, right? That's the lentils. So you'll start seeing a shift. That's why they're saying, hey, if you want to save money, eat lentils, right? Because they know that the farmers are going to put something in the ground to monetize it, okay? And so you're going to see a shift to what I call the lower quality grains, that in terms of what people like to eat. So we're going to shift down from corn to wheat, wheat to barley, barley to pulse. Okay. And then obviously if that doesn't work, we'll be eating bugs.
Oh my gosh. What's the average person to do? Should they store food?
Yeah. Hey, look, you know, obviously you live in a city, you know, you need to probably look, plan ahead. You know, I don't want to make this a prepper show, but you know, you need to have, obviously you're urban, you're probably screwed because you don't have the freezer space. Get it in your garage, right? Get an extra freezer, invest in it, and get 4 to 6 months worth of food in there. And the only reason being is that you want to be able to buy when things do go on sale, because you get these temporary gluts so that you can always buy at best prices instead of buying at half the prices. You know, that's number one. Number two, if you have a yard, I got a year's worth of rice already, and I have a big patch for potatoes. I can grow my year's worth of potatoes. So, you know, you do that, and you know, you learn that, and also get on a keto diet so you can just eat more vegetables.
That's so not – listen, if there's an upside to it, we've had this discussion in our home about this, but I will never eat bugs.
No, neither would I. I think they enjoy tormenting and trolling us. I really do. And I think until somebody takes a whack at their family, you know, when people just start getting desperate. And so, you know, but those guys, I think they enjoy trolling us. I mean, look, you know, it's, you know, it used to be let them eat cake, and now it's let them eat lentils, right?
I know. I hear you. It is funny until you think about it becomes our reality.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's that. So look, United States is going to become, I used to say inconvenience. Now we're pushing past inconvenience now because we're getting hit with a double whammy, right? So, you know, you got food and you got energy hitting you, right? So I think now it's going to become real. And the ironic thing about it is, you know, you'll shift, you'll put the money you have to into your car to get to work, and you'll put money into your belly to eat. But it's all the other, what I would call the non-demand services, the non-staple services, you know, the nice to have stuff. That part of our economy is going to suffer greatly. It's going to go back to those things used to be for the elites. They're going to go back to the elites, right? You know, if you can barely eat, right, you know, you're not going to get your nails done. You're not going to, you know, go out to eat with your family. You're not going to get a massage. You're not going to go to the chiropractor, right? Your kids aren't going to be doing private coaching. You know, all that stuff's going to die away. And the sad thing about it for the United States, that's like 25 to 30% of our economy, what I would call non-essential services. And that includes the travel industry and I call it augmented medical industry, and you know, personal appearance industry. You know, all those things go away.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So let me take this back to what you do for a living, and because I know you always put your money where your mouth is. How does this affect, like, how people handle their money, where they invest? How can they take advantage of a bad situation and, you know, turn it into a silver lining?
Yeah, so, you know, people are listening to you and I for the last 18 months. They should have already shifted from financial assets to hard assets, right? And I'm not talking gold and silver. I'm talking about the commodity space. Well, right now, I say we're probably in inning four and five. So we've been looking at, obviously, we're looking at anything on the renewable side, because we know that's where the administration and the world wants to go now, because these people are very simplistic. Okay, so they these are notifications from my system. The market must be going crazy. And they have they're going to try to take advantage of this Russia thing. So, you know, we're big in uranium, we're big in lithium, we're big in cobalt. You know, we're big in those aspects of the commodity markets. And so, and we've been killing it. And today, 3 days ago, I told people to get into Lithium America. And our other focus is people need to understand, you need to buy close to home, because the export markets are going to dry up, not just for food, but for everything. So, you know, we're looking at companies that are in the United States. Like, we've been in this thing called Quad U for uranium since 250. We just did our second trade on it. Now it's back up to $10. Okay, we killed that trade. Lithium America is a lithium company. We got into it. It's up $5 since we got into it just on Monday. And so we're also in CCJ, Canadian Miner. We just closed our fertilizer play. We got it from $18 to $63. So we're putting people in these trades where you can, what we call it, outrun inflation. You heard my tired old story about the, you know, the two guys walking in the woods and a bear comes up behind him, and the guy sits down, starts putting on sneakers. He said, "What are you doing? You cannot run the bear." He goes, "I don't have to. Just have to outrun you." And that's how we have to think. We can't beat these guys. We can't change them, you know, unless you're an extraordinary individual, right? But we can outrun inflation. And that's what we're trying to do, and how to show people to do it at Trade Genius. That's the trade for the next 12 months before the wheels come off the apple cart trade in 2023. And we'll explain how that works too.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I definitely want to hit that later. But right now, we got to deal with a monster that's in front of us. But I wanted to read to you something here that you shared with me, and I think it's really appropriate. It's from a gentleman named Greg, and he said, when he was investing with you guys, and this is your attempt to outrun inflation, I think. First onboarding call was March 4th of this year. His first option trade on 321 was 1170 investment, 325 return in the first hour. 27% return in 1 hour. Texas is going to be short one plumber soon. I thought that was great. I love this. Then this guy, gentleman named Tamir, I've been with Trade Genius for 4 years. The education alone's worth the price. Profits made trading are just the gravy on top. They just praise you guys for keeping people on top of things. So there are opportunities here for people to really outrun inflation, right? You just have to produce more income than the inflation rate. But Bob, I want to deal something with you, and it has to do with the inflation rate. I've done a fair amount of studying on this. The government has admitted 7.9%, which is exorbitant, but that's not what it is. When you use the CPI criteria from 1982, it's in the 16s.
Yeah, and it's actually closer to 20%. You know how I know
really?
It? Congress gives themselves a 20% raise. That's how I know it's 20%.
No, I think you're right. And then you said something once that really resonated with me. You said one of the best benchmarks of what the inflation rate is to look at rent. How's that doing?
Yep, same. Yep, that's my frame of reference. You know, I always look at the annual increase in rent as the tool. Because look, those are the most connected people, right? And, you know, that's where BlackRock's investing. So they, you know, so, and look, they keep buying homes because they know they can keep getting rental prices up, right? And so, you know, obviously they buy a fixed asset and then they want to inflate it so that you make money owning something that you have a fixed cost, relative fixed cost on, right? Mm-hmm. And you, then you, they outrun inflation by buying property and then start charging increasing amounts of rents every year. So, last year was, I think it was 15.5%. So, you know, I always say we had a 15-16% inflation rate. Congress came out and they gave themselves 20%. You know, so I think we can expect to see inflation continue to rise. Okay. And look, when oil is up over 150% in 18 months, okay, that's just a natural lift for inflation too. And this bullshit about 7.7% is, I mean, it boggles the mind. They truly believe we're idiots.
They do. I agree.
They truly believe we're idiots. And you know, I understand that, look, if you own your own home, right, and you own your own car, okay, your inflation rate is lower than somebody who's renting and leasing, okay? But that's very few people. And then look, all the people on fixed income, they're getting absolutely crushed right now, you know, because Medicare costs go up. I think we had the largest Medicare increase year over year last year. Don't hold me to that because I'm not at that age yet. That's what I heard.
I laugh at this because we're just the victims of our own stupidity. I wanted to go back to something you just said, though. You said that... the international exports are going to go to next to nothing. So are you talking about the Baltic Dry Index measure where that measures trade around the world? Are you saying that's what's going to really dip tremendously?
Well, Baltic Dry Index, I think it measures the cost of the stuff that's being delivered. But shipping rates continue to rise because the tonnage available is less than the shipping that is being reduced. Okay, so we still have a deficit. We own this company called Zim, personally. Okay, it's an Israeli shipping company. They just paid, it's a stock that trades for, look at it right now. So it was trading at $90, and they just paid a $17 quarterly dividend, Dave.
Wow.
Okay, and so it dropped $17, right? That's what normally happens when you do a dividend. It's only down $10 now. So people are already bidding this thing back up to get a hold of the next dividend because people are desperate. That's the shipping industry. They're making so much money right now. They're not investing in new shipping because you're an idiot if you want to increase capacity, right?
Sure.
You want to milk this thing until the end. And so the shipping companies have been just doing incredible business. And because they're pulling tonnage off, at the same time, China and the United States are restricting access to their ports. China through their pandemic, whatever they're doing over there, and the United States because the Green New Deal crap in California, and the West Coast, they're blocking trucks that don't meet the emission standards from being able to lift those loads off and get them out into the countryside. So. But they may have their comeuppance because Asia has shifted, measurably shifted their routing now to the ports in Florida, Texas, and South Carolina, and probably New York, you know, so, but mostly the southern states. They're going to get massive, massive amount of tonnage coming directly to the East Coast. And so these shipping out here in the Pacific, all they're doing is they're routing them straight through the Panama Canal now, or they're even coming all the way across through the Suez Canal, Dave. So people are already reacting to the Pacific coast trying to restrict for the truckers, and they're going directly to the East Coast now. I just read it yesterday, and Florida, you know, DeSantis is like, bring it on. We'll do whatever we need to do to expand capacity to meet the need. So once again, DeSantis is leading.
A governor doing
Biden
something.
Biden is sleeping.
Yeah. What's is it because? Well, the West Coast governors. When you look at Brown, Ennis, and Newsom, they're a joke. I mean, leadership is absolutely lacking with these people. Is this why there's shifts going on because they're not getting local cooperation?
Yeah. So look, you have to understand about the West Coast. It's we're already rich and we have ours. You know, it's a super NIMBY here. So these people, they don't want any people around anymore. They have their homes, right? They want the pristine environment, right? And so they don't want to be bothered with dirty industries. They don't want to be bothered with dirty energy production. They don't want to be bothered with dirty trucks moving stuff across the country. So they just make it impossible for those businesses to survive, because that's not how these people make their money, okay? They make their money in all the clean industries. And so but it causes great consternation for the rest of the United States. And so that's how they are. Look, you know, Oregon would like to turn themselves into a national park, right? You know,
you're right.
Yeah. So, you know, look, as long as, you know, notice Newsom, they don't screw with the vineyards, right? So, but they screw with, you know, if you want to make steel here, or you want to press stainless steel, you know, they just jump you through hoops, right, to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, but no problem. Hey, you have vineyard workers, they can all work for $20 an hour, right? Make nothing. And while I'm sit there selling my $400 bottle of wine to each other.
I hear you.
So that's their mentality out here in California and the West Coast. So they don't care until their businesses start to dry up. So it doesn't matter if you can't get something, as long as they can get theirs.
Yesterday, I was down in Dallas for a conference, and we were on our way back to the airport, and my wife and I drove by a Tesla plant.
Yeah.
And I said to her, there's the manifestation of the failure of Newsom.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely incredible to look at that, and the relocation of Tesla to Texas. And, you know, are they going to continue? Because here's what they're doing. They're eroding their industrial base. They're eroding their tax base by doing this as well, and they're killing jobs. Are they deliberately trying to run people out of the West Coast?
Well, I don't. You know, look, if you're leftist, right, and you can chase out more right-wing people to Texas, it just makes your politics easier to maintain, right? So, and then if you bring in a lot more poor people that need you, that helps you maintain your. So, yeah, from a strategy standpoint, they're doing exactly what they want. Hey, if population goes down a couple percent, hey, we don't care, you know. You got to understand, California here, you know, it's all about the it's all about the lifestyle now, okay? So, but I will tell you, though, they're bailing out of San Francisco like the plague.
Yes. Okay?
So I know that because they're all coming into my neighborhood. I just remind them that, remember, the reason why you want to come here is because you're running away from the things that you voted for up there. Don't bring it here, you know?
Oh, God. You know, this is the biggest complaint. I spent time with one of my broadcast partners, Doug Thornton, when I was in Dallas. He's in the Fort Worth area. And he told me, he says, our biggest problem are the people coming from California. They're fleeing nonsense, but they're bringing more nonsense with them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what happens. These, you know, they ruined Colorado, they ruined Washington, they ruined Oregon, and now these people are going to go ahead and they're going to probably ruin Arizona.
They already are ruining Arizona. Yeah. Yeah, there's no question they're ruining Arizona. In fact, we see it. It's endemic in our leadership now, too. The pollution has reached all the way to the top. It's from the county clerks to the county supervisors to the governor. They're all... We may as well call ourselves a West Coast state, because that's what we've become. You know what you're reminding me of when you're talking about this is an older concept that's several years old, but you're saying, we've got ours, we don't care what you want, take your business, get the hell out of here, and take your conservatives with you. This reminds me of the CalExit movement, in which California was actually planning to become its own country under the direction of Eric Holder. He was leading the movement. And California state government, the Democrats were behind this. They even opened an embassy in Moscow. I kid you not, I actually covered this, took pictures of it. And when we look at this, it's almost like they would prefer to break away from the United States. I mean, do you feel that way too?
Yeah, but I don't think that, you know, and I think that's a fantasy, just like Texas leaving. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the West Coast is strategic to the United States. They're not going to let them become their own country and allow China or Russia or anybody else to get their mitts into this hemisphere.
Yeah, so good point. That's a good point.
They'll secede from the Union and then they'll be invaded, right? Because all the West Coast military bases are out here in California and Washington, and no way they're going to cede that. But what I will say is I think the three Canadian provinces in the middle will probably become part of the United States before I die.
You know, it's interesting you'd say that. I had a Canadian tell me that at the conference I was at. He said exactly the same thing. And his business? Oil.
Yeah, and I think Canada has the provinces have a little bit different amalgamation. In the United States, we made it pretty clear you can't leave, right? We'll go to war with you. But I think the Canadian provinces, because look, I think wasn't it Quebec that tried to secede a couple times, and those three, you know, we're talking about Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. If those three leave, then Canada's really no more, right? They might as well all become Americans, because that's where everything's produced in those three. And, you know, other than Vancouver, the rest of British Columbia and Yukon would probably secede as well.
No, I don't disagree with you, but Trudeau's allowed his West Coast to become dominated by China. So, you know, I guess where there's a vacuum, China might move in. I wanted to ask you, too, about something we talked about before we came on air, and it's Yemen. And I'm going to explain my understanding and let you correct me, but I can't believe people don't look at the facts and arrive at the same conclusion I have. You've got Russia that has to be considered an enemy now to the United States. Absolutely an enemy. All right. They're negotiating a deal with the biggest terrorist nation on earth, Iran, to bring us oil that we refuse to produce for ourselves, and we're more than capable. And now, even though that's slowed down, we have Iranian mercenaries, and they're using the Houthis to attack Saudi Arabian interests in oil that's going to flatten oil production and thus increase prices to the United States on existing imports or exports. I'm confused. I feel like going, blah, 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 blah. I mean, can you explain this to us?
You know, it's funny, you mentioned that to me before the show, and normally I'm a good dot connector, and I haven't even got that far in my creativity. But yeah, it seems like they're doing it on one hand, and they're going to take it away on the other hand. And here's the other weird thing. You know, the Saudis basically told Biden to pound sand when he asked them to increase production.
Yeah.
And then this week they're sending over Patriot missiles to Saudi Arabia. So I have no idea. I just have no idea what's going on with this stuff. It's just, it's not 3D chess. I think it's checkers being played by drunk people.
Yeah, it's 3D special ed. I mean, that's how I see this. I mean, I can go through this with, I played a clip of Kamala Harris this morning talking about high-speed internet, and she kept repeating the same phrase four times. The significance of this in our time. And I'm thinking, but she didn't say anything. It's kind of like Russia's a big country, Ukraine's a small country, and a big country shouldn't attack a small country. This is the illogic we're getting from this administration. And this question I've asked with Yemen, the Houthi mercenaries, it fits into this, and we're sending Saudi Arabia missiles. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know what it is. She's absolutely a product of her educational system. But, you know, seriously, though, she's talking that way because that's how she views her audience. Literally. You know, Trump kind of did it, too. You know, that stupid baby talk, you know. But, you know, Trump gets away with it because he's funny. You know, she doesn't get away with it because she's not funny. You know, because, you know, Trump will go, China. You know, everybody starts laughing, you know, because he's mocking them. Where she'll try to create the same kind of analogy, and it just goes flat. You know. And I know she invited Ukraine into NATO. I guess, you know, we didn't know that, but she knew that. And, you know, but, yeah, that would be scary. That's why Biden is not going to get impeached, because he did job security. That was the first thing he did. He protected his flank.
You're right. That's like the head coach that hires an incompetent assistant so you don't dare fire him during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually seen that happen. Yeah. A coach from the Denver Nuggets, Doug Moe, who's really a good coach, a good guy, he hired the head of a sporting goods store. to be his assistant, and we all laughed about it. And that's exactly what he, I mean, that's terrible. You think about, okay, we should impeach Biden over the border. That's criminal negligence, what's going on, and it's facilitating other crimes. No question he's vulnerable to impeachment there, but who are you going to put in? Someone who just talks in word salads?
Yeah, I would actually still do it, just so the American people could see the level of competence that the Democratic Party can possess.
But at what price?
Well, I think we're already paying the price. Look, we're not running the country anyway anymore. It's obviously they're getting their talking points from someone. So.
No, they are. I hear you. It's
yeah.
I did a podcast on this last night where I said effectively. We have not just a leadership crisis in America, we have a world leadership crisis, and it's all coming from pretty much the same place.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know, my whole view on this is that this goes back to the French Revolution, where the aristocracy of Europe was pissed that they lost America. And ever since, they've been looking for ways to loop us in. You know, England tried to separate the country, create a civil war. You know, the French came in on the side of the North, you know, and then you have the Spanish-American War, right? Then they had the false flag with the Maine. Then you have World War One. You have the Federal Reserve being created, Lusitania, another false flag getting us into World War One. Then you have, you know, World War Two, right? So we weren't going to engage in World War II, and then Roosevelt was desperate, because he's a globalist, to get us into World War II. So they false flagged Pearl Harbor. You know, we saw those planes coming. We put a guy who never operated a radar system in charge of the day the attack was supposed to happen.
Yeah, I know. We know that.
Okay, and, so I mean, you look at these things, you know, and you don't want to believe it, but and then look, and then Korea's a different animal. Vietnam, we had the Pueblo. I mean, Iraq, we had weapons of mass destruction. We had 9/11 to get, you know, I mean, just goes on and on and on and on. These are very conspiratorial events that because the American people, I think their ilk is to isolate. And the Europeans keep having to drag us into these wars because, you know, what people don't realize, we subsidize Europe. So we subsidize Europe's defense. We subsidize Europe's pharmaceutical industry. Do you know, United States, we pay so much more for pharmaceuticals because we have more of a free market for that, where Europe says they don't count any of your R&D spending as cost. They only say, hey, it costs you 2 cents to make that pill. You can only sell it for three, right? Doesn't matter if you spent $6 billion in R&D on it, right? That's America's problem. So that's why all these countries dump their pharmaceuticals onto the U.S. But when it goes to Europe and Canada, that's why everybody says, oh, they're doing something right. No, we're subsidizing it. It should be America should get best pricing. So we subsidize that. The way they construct their social taxation, we do it through FICA, through payroll. They do it through other taxation, through VAT. So our stuff comes over, it gets VATed, right? Their stuff comes over, it doesn't get VATed. So their stuff's cheaper. It's just, I can go on and on and on. Europe is a continent with no resources, and it's still acting as a colonist, right? As a colonizer, and they develop this beautiful trap for America, and we continue to be their mercenaries, and we continue to subsidize them with our resources, and we're doing it again. We're sending troops over there again. We're sending our cheap energy over to them again. And they continue to lecture us on their superiority, you know, and so I go back to the old royalty. It doesn't change. We're still a colony of Europe.
Wow. Yeah. But we hold the power. So how do you get yourself reduced to being a colony?
Well, because our kings are the vassals. Okay. Look, we had a king that came up, right? His name was Trump. Right, look what they did to him. He no longer wanted to be a colonist, right? And they did. I mean, the moment he decided to be engaged, he was attacked. And the minute he got elected, they immediately developed the system which to remove him from power.
That's true. I agree. Okay. They did.
Yeah, I think eventually they'll lose. I think Europe's in big trouble. I don't think Europe's going to survive this intact. Okay, you know, I mean, they look, Europe can't survive without the United States, and I think the American people are changing. This new generation's different. Okay, I call it the Bitcoin stock line, right? When you get to be like 35 or 40, these kids are buying cryptos. They're not buying stocks. I see, because I'm in the business, right? So we see what they're interested in. They hate the government. They hate it. They don't see any value to the government whatsoever. They see the government, and I know this because I have one at home, okay? They see the government as is protecting the boomers at their expense. So the next civil war is going to be an age civil war. These kids are going to dismantle these institutions. They're desperate. That's why they're so desperate to get into these schools and to preach the stuff they're preaching. But it falls on deaf ears. These kids are indifferent to this stuff because they have their own outlet now. They talk to each other on social media, okay? It's really fascinating. So, I mean, my daughter comes home and she'll just say, "Hey, Dad, what do you think of this? I heard this today." Do they think we're stupid? You know, and I just laugh, you know. And I wouldn't call my daughter a rock-ribbed conservative Republican, okay? But she definitely leans what I call left libertarian. And that should scare the bejesus out of the elites because these kids don't want to be controlled. And they want to be left alone. And that's my hope for the country.
I think there's a lot of merit in that position. You know, here's what we look at here. I mean, you know, good leadership is being a good servant model. We have everything but that. Biden, I'll just give you one example of what I'm talking about. It was just announced yesterday that we're spending $316 million a year on illegal alien health care while we have millions of Americans that are underinsured. They don't care about us. If they cared about us, they'd produce domestic oil. They care about their little agenda. They don't care if you can afford to drive to work, put enough food on your table. They don't care about anything to do with America, and that's this administration. And I think this is what your daughter's seeing. And the thing is I'm a lot older than your daughter, and I agree with her.
Yeah, no, I see the change coming. And, you know, and we're going to have to – look, I call it peak centralization. You know, it's going to start with the trades, right? And then it's going to go into the country, and you're going to see things getting back to closer. The producer and the consumers are going to get a lot closer together than they used to be. You know, I was talking to one of my wife's clients. He owns a stainless steel fabrication company. And I asked him, I said, "You getting any shortages?" He goes, "Nothing on the big stuff. I get all that stuff in, you know, the stainless steel and stuff like that." I said, "What's in short supply?" He goes, "The nickel stuff, basically the little small cheap components." He said, "That stuff has to come from China, Mexico." I said, "Why don't we produce it here?" He goes, "You think we could?" I said, "Would you pay more for it?" He goes, "Yeah, it's like 3% of my manufacturing. If they would produce it here, I'd pay a little more for it." Mm-hmm. I said, "Why don't they?" He said, "Because they can get away. The people that own those companies can get away with a lot more than just cheaper labor." Okay, so there's people being bought off and this and other things. So it's just easier for them to produce this stuff outside the country, Mexico, China, etc. And so, but at some point, when you can't get the stuff in at all, which I think is going to happen, Dave, in the next 2 or 3 years. You're going to see a lot of this stuff on board back into the United States.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that, Bob, and you're making such a good point here. But I see this administration, again, being antithetical to that concept.
Yeah, I think they're going to be forced into it because we'll literally not be able to get parts. And I think China's going to do something. I think, like, Russia overplayed their hand here with Ukraine. The Russians got goaded into that war, and they fell for it. China's going to they're going to get goaded into making a mistake too. They're going to, you know, they've already like restricted, like, "Hey, we're going to restrict the exports of rare earths." But now, you know, they're going to do something like restrict it, like pharmaceuticals, and then all of a sudden, the United States people, you know, we're a country of hypochondriacs. People will just go absolutely nuts. You know, they're going to do something stupid along those lines, and they're going to force the Biden administration's hands and say, "Okay, we have to onboard these critical supplies to the United States." And I think that's I think it's going to take an event with these guys. They're very reactionary. It's so funny. They call Republicans reactionary. These people will not react on anything that's not in their core narrow agenda unless they're being forced into it.
Exactly.
And I think they're going to get forced into that.
Yeah, like just with domestic production of oil, all we hear are these little cereal box sayings, oh, we've moved beyond that point. We've moved beyond that point. Yeah, you've moved beyond the point where you're impoverishing America. But the other thing that I really find interesting here is the political revolution, and I wanted to bring this back to the financial market, but let's start with the politics. I can't remember, I think it was South Carolina. You had a Republican incumbent, and I've been calling for this. Dump most of the Republican incumbents, particularly when you know they're a rhino. This just happened in the polling in South Carolina. They're saying this one guy is an upstart, is going to defeat the incumbent, and he's got a 20-point lead. And the Democrats are taking a beating. And then I'll point to this case in Houston. 10 judges up for re-election in a Democratic primary. In a Democratic primary. Democrats voting on Democrats, and all 10 got rejected.
Yeah, look, I think there's a definitely a red wave coming that I think is going to overwhelm people. Did you see the shift in the polling data in Hispanics? It's a 19% swing from Democrat to Republican. So, I mean, look, the Rio Grande Valley is electing Republicans for the first time ever. Now, it might be a Hispanic version of Republicanism, but they're not Democrats, okay?
Well, they're appreciating free enterprise because isn't one of the fastest growing entrepreneurial groups in America basically Hispanic based?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, that's their last hope. And I think that's why they've been doubling down on critical race theory and not arresting people in the urban areas. They're trying to keep as much of the black vote as they can muster because they've lost the white woman and they're losing the Hispanic man. I don't know if the Hispanic woman's coming, but I know the Hispanic man and I know the white woman is left. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they killed I call it the soccer mom group, but we're talking about the same. The SUV woman at the school board meeting.
Yeah. And look, we're not being misogynistic. We're breaking it down by filter here, like the Democrats do.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So that demographic cost Trump, even with the cheating. If he would have kept that base, he would have overwhelmed any cheating. So, because he was crass.
Yeah, I know. Now, he offended the women, but now they're realizing, gee, the good old days. But you know, it was like it's the mama bear concept. This is what Garland, you know, and this is Biden too. But Garland, the attorney general, didn't realize when he declared people to be domestic terrorists who go to school board meetings and fight for their kids. Yeah. He right there just said to all the moms in America, "Screw you. We don't care what you think."
Yeah. He went after Mama Bear and, you know, the tiger mom and you know, you don't screw with mother with children. I mean, you know, that's the law of nature. And they did it three ways all at the same time. And so I don't think people forget. You know, I saw a T-shirt said, "I'll take mean tweets. I'll take mean tweets any day now, sir."
No, I know you're exactly right. So let's take this and let's, the time we have left, I want to translate this into some economic action that you're looking at with Trade Genius and saying, okay, how are you going to take advantage of these trends and monetize them and outrun inflation?
Yeah, so we don't have to change course right now. So we're in the fast lane and it's going to run like this now for the next couple months. So, you know, and I'll give people the trades. You know, you buy LAC, you buy Hecla, which is a silver miner, you buy UUUU, you buy the uranium company. Fertilizer has really run its course right now, so you probably have to back up on that. Oil's probably run its course. There's going to be money to be made, but not like it was before. So, you know, you look at that, those trades, and then you know, on the gold side, you know, you like company like EGO, CLR, and you know, shipping companies like Dividend, ZIM. Those things will all do you well. You know, we're having our last hurrah here, the big bear market rally here coming off this Fed announcement. He's going to raise rates in May 50 basis points. They'll kill the stock market on the third rate increase, okay? So, but you want to be in these things because those things are going to outrun inflation and they're going to outrun the Federal Reserve. They can't keep up until they cause a market crash. And so that's where you want to be over the next 3 to 4 months. And then there's some things you want to short, but you can do through ETFs, but you'll have to join my service and I'll give you more detail because it's too hard to explain in 1 minute.
Well, tell me what ETS is so I can.
ETF, those are exchange traded.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood you.
Yeah, it's the best way to short the markets.
Okay, I think that's really good. But I'm wondering, let me ask you about a practicality here. Would you advise people right now to minimize their cash exposure in the bank and get it down to management with your bills, but not have it be a place where you house your money?
You know, I think in the United States you're okay for now. So they can't pull what they did with Canada en masse like in the United States. It has to be like individualized. So, but you know, here's the problem you have. I mean, look, people are in the horns of a dilemma right now because, you know, if you keep too much cash in the bank, you're losing money to inflation, right?
Yeah.
You have to, you know, but you don't want to be in the markets either. So. And you can't put it in the bond markets now because, number one, you're not getting any return. But number two, the bond markets are selling off too. We're getting the worst of both worlds coming, Dave. The bond market's going to sell off and the stock market's going to sell off. So you're going to be forced into cash. So you're going to have to hold your nose, okay? And you're going to have to keep it in the bank. And you know, unless you want to take cash out and put it in your mattress. But, you know, that's a whole other set of risks, right? But there's no other asset you can convert it into. You know, if you really like Bitcoin, you know, you need to put some in Bitcoin, right? You need to put some in physical. But you know, if you get a farm, right, that produces, you might want to put it into that. But for me, if you said, Bob, you couldn't put it in the bank, where would you put it? I would put it in the highest dividend paying stocks there are, okay? If you said I couldn't keep it in the bank, I have to have it invested somewhere. It would be in the stocks that have high dividend yields. So oil, probably oil producers, you know, anything that's producing a commodity right now, and even food companies like Kroger and things like that, anything that produces a dividend to help you, the company grows through inflation, but the dividend grows with you too. So that's what I would do.
At what point does a gallon of gas cost too much to where the economy implodes?
Well, you know, there's a rule of thumb. It's if once you're 4%, once energy expense is 4% or greater of GDP, it causes a recession. I haven't done the math yet, so I don't know where exactly that is. But I will tell you, though, if you get gas to $7 a gallon in California, people aren't going to work.
Interesting. And so then your labor shortage really becomes acute.
Yeah. So, I mean, some service jobs can work from home, but anything customer facing, you know, and those are the cheapest jobs, you know. Restaurants will go out of business, you know. Manufacturers will have to jam prices because they have to pay for fuel surcharges to their employees to come to work. But, yeah, so I just was talking to somebody the other day, you know, you have a big F-450, you know, truck and you're a contractor. Well, it's costing you $170 a week to fill your, you know, to fill your truck, okay.
Yeah,
and if not more, you know. So, and that was gasoline that was just getting to $6, $5.80. If it gets to $7, you're talking filling your tank for $250 a week. It's $1,000. The average American only makes $7,000 a month. Okay, that's the median income for a family of four. And 14% of it's going just to the gas tank.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Bob, in the time we have left, though, because you're kind of leading people out of the wilderness here into investments that make some sense, and I wanted to give credit to that. You've got a special going on here that we looked at. We looked at some of the attaboys early in the show. So you've got a deal going on here where people can join what you do. And tell them how they can do that here. We got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, TradeLegitGenius.com. We have 7 specials running, 65% off. Our lowest prices of the year. So there's some anomalies in our pricing that we're going to change upward in April back to normal. So if you want to get the deal of the century, you better grab it before the end of the month. And actually for you, it's going to be the 20, 6th of March.
Exactly.
And if you want to buy anything in the store individually, 35% off, use promo code SPRING, and you get it. But actually, we have killer deals right now, and, you know, we're helping make people money nearly every day in the markets right now. It's really very clear right now where the money's going, and we're riding a truck right through it.
So you get 35% off the non-bundled items with the coupon code SPRING, and that's only good till this Saturday night at midnight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd encourage you to do it, because if you're looking for a way to outrun inflation, well, we just gave you the way right here, and we'll have more information when we post this interview to our website as well, too. Bob, thanks for joining us. Very, very informative today with a lot going on.
No, thanks for having me, Dave, and have a great one.
You too.